I'm Maurice Teat, born in 1927 and came into Alton in 1933. Primary education was here and I managed to get a scholarship through to Whitwood Technical College, as it was then, commercial department. From that, I worked in Leeds in tailoring until I went in the forces. After the forces, I worked for a short while with the sales side of Heinz at one of their depots. That's the bean people, of course. Didn't fit there particularly. And then I went to the Copperworks, which was a large employer around here, and I worked there to retirement.
What was your profession, basically?
Pen pusher. Little more than a pen pusher. People get fancy titles for things these days. If you work in an office, I say you should be able to do almost everything that's done in an office. You know how to do the books, and you know how to pay wages and things like that.
You say you came here in about 1933, you said?
Yes.
Tell me a bit about your mum and dad, and did they have a connection with Alton?
All we knew was that it used to look pretty when the railway went over, when you came up on railways, coming to the family in Leeds. My father was born in Swinton and worked in several collieries, and in 1933, when Stuart and Lloyds decided to sink a new shaft, everything finished there, and he wasn't going to wait until they opened up again. But at that stage, I gather he was colliery overman with the management instructed, you do what Fred Teat tells you. He was hands-on expert for the work there. And he came here to introduce the bug, as they call it, which is jigger conveyor.
So that was a new piece of equipment?
New piece of equipment. It's first mechanisation of underground working in Waterhague, it was. And he came along here and installed these machines, whatever they were.
He was kind of an expert in them.
Well, he had worked, as I say, was overman in Stuart and Lloyd's Kilnest. Stuart and Lloyd's were big industrialists. Penn Lloyd controlled collieries, and the Stuart side did the steelworks.
So Fred worked down the pit here then?
He worked down the pit here. He came here to install this machinery, and he worked there. Became a deputy and then overman here.
Now, you knew Billy Williams, who was the manager at Waterhague. What kind of a man was he?
He was a political type, because he became a councillor eventually. He was interested in what went on. He was authoritative in himself. He was a manager. His father, of course, had been under manager.
Where did you live when you first came to the village?
The council estate here, North Lane.
What was growing up like on North Lane like, and growing up in this village with the pit and the miners?
If you knew how to mop up a bleeding nose, you stuck in where you could. Unfortunately, I wasn't as fit as I should have been. I had diphtheria at the age of 4, and now I'm being told I've got a bad heart. They used to say, when you came out of hospital, the doctor said you'd have a bad heart and you wouldn't walk straight. Well, I remember being in the wheelchair shortly after coming out of hospital. I was in that for I don't know how long. I can't remember anybody taking a great deal about making my legs work. But my father was a St. John's man. The 1418 war, he was in casualty clearing in Flanders for the full 4 years, until he was taken prisoner at the very, very end, the last German push. So what happened to my legs? I can't remember, but I could never run.
Can you remember going to Waterhague Colliery?
I can remember going to watch Jimmy Walford's engine. He was the big engine on the top, the pumping engine. They admired their engineering abilities. Jimmy Walford, he'd been in the Navy in the 1418 war. He was a neighbour across the street. And I was taken once with my father to look at the engine.
And what did the engine do?
Pumping the water out of the mines. They had several seams down there, so the cage had a lot of work to do, and because it used to stop at different levels. But my father never wanted us to go down the pit. So when we got the chance to get clerical education, we got it.
Right.
My brother worked as an accountant in Castleford. He started off as the office boy, and he ended up running it.
Well, that's not bad, is it? What else can you remember about the village when you were a boy then?
We had a brickworks, we had a brewery, there were chemical works. If you lived in Woodlesford and you went to Woodlesford School, you were a different breed if anybody who went to Alton and Alton School.
There was a rivalry.
Oh, yes. Alton was the squire archy, you see. It had a squire and a big house up there. The industrialists didn't like the squire archy, I don't think. They put together and they built Woodlesford Church. So they didn't have to be in church before the squire arrived.
So you heard all this when you were a lad?
Well, you picked it up little by little.
What do you remember about the railway running through Woodlesford?
I remember Mother commenting, when we lived down in South Yorkshire there, in Swinton, or in Rawmarsh, she was saying, you used to look down from the railway bridge, which still exists, and she looked up that road there, and said, well, it's a lovely place to live. And eventually, several years later, of course, turned up here.
Can you remember coming on the train then, when you were alive?
Oh, yes. Enormous number of pit yards you went it goes through.
You mean between here and Rawmarsh, don't you?
Yes.
Once you'd moved to Alton and Woodlesford, did you travel by train after that? Did you go on excursions?
Quiet trips. Morecambe. 1 year it used to be rail and 1 year it used to be a coach. Whitby and Scarborough, the entire choir, which could fill a coach of about 32 seats, it'd be men and boys, the verger and the vicar. No women in it in those days. The bus would be parked, you told where it was, come back here at such and such place to such and such a destination for a meal. It would take me, come home, and you'd travel up all evening.
So it was a reward for singing in the choir?
That's how it was looked at.
And 1 year you'd go by coach and another year you'd go by train?
Train, yes. I remember going on an evening trip, as they call them, to Southport, and coming back, the train left us all in Leeds, and it was a walk home from Leeds at 2 or 3 in the morning. You used to go on a choir trip, and the pocket money was half a crown. That's what they used to save up all year.
You saved up?
Yes. There'd be the odd lad who had moneyed parents somewhere in the... And he'd say, got 10 shillings for his pocket money for the day, so I say.
Did your dad take part in other activities to do with the colliery? Was he a sportsman, like in football or cricket? And can you remember anything about
that? No, he worked from 4 in the morning to 6 at night, and 8 at night. I've known him do a 27-hour shift.
And he was like a manager, an under-manager, wasn't
he? Well, it is a manager. It's a managerial position, overman. He started off as a pony boy at 12 when he left school. His first job, he went to an engineering foundry, found out they paid him 5 bob a week, and he had to walk from Rawmarsh to Parkgate to the foundry. And his job was to crawl down cast pipes, knocking the rough bits off. He had a week of that and came back and he learned that his schoolmates who'd gone in the pit were getting 10 shillings a week and not 5 shillings a week, and they didn't had an 8-hour day, and he handed in his notice, worked there a fortnight, came out and then got a job at the pit. And that was Swinton Colliery, the pit with the golden pulleys. It was such good working.
What did his dad do?
Grandpa, I never knew Grandpa work, but I've no doubt he did. And be in the pit until health. I remember my father saying when they came the first winter, after he left school and he was going to get behind his neighbours and his father's as they walked together, that the young lad used to get there, get the protection of these few fellas walking in front with their overcoats on.
Can you remember much, is there much you can, anything you can tell me about the brickworks and the quarry? Because they were quite substantial when you were younger.
The quarries, there were some working. I never got near. I can remember a letter from a schoolboy being read out in, well, it was a gentleman who'd been a schoolboy here. And it was read out, and he'd gone to Australia, and he'd written back to say, when he got off the boat, there were crates of stone from Armitage of Woodlesford. He said, home from home attitude.
So this was in Australia, it had been taken?
Yes. The stone from here was reputed to have the best qualities to make the old grindstone. They used to make grindstones here and export them all over the world.
And this was a letter that was read out in your school from somebody who'd emigrated?
It had been sent to one of the privileged, the schoolmaster.
And the brickworks, have you got...?
That was the same family. Armitage's brickworks were there. I remember in the 50s taking the scouts into the brickworks and over the top of the kilns and seeing how they fed the coal down little slots to keep the bricks and the temperatures right. I remember doing a night exercise with Boy Scouts and letting them learn a little bit about that business.